Hello, folk. Welcome to Shift Church. This, I think I might have just put on the Facebook stream description Thursday, but it's not. It's Wednesday, isn't it? Oh, I'll tell you what, this week, how's this week been going for you guys? Liz, did it feel like Thursday or Wednesday to you?
I have no idea. I think it feels a bit earlier in the week. It feels like I've got a lot of the week left. But yeah. Hello, Liz. Hello, Ali.
I have a question which might be of interest to the people listening.
Go on, Lynn.
Why is it called Shift Church?
Well, that's a good question. I'll tell you for why. For about 10 years, I've had the name Shift Church in my head. And I've always thought of it as something that could be really helpful to folk who work shifts. And I've been trying to work out how we can help people who work shifts and odd work patterns and can't get to church on a Sunday to actually engage with their faith and discipleship and Jesus and stuff. So I've had that name in my head for about 10 years. And when lockdown came along and all the online stuff kicked off, I thought, oh, hold on a minute. If we did something online in a midweek that was available all the time and on podcasts and stuff, folk who work shifts could watch it live, or they could listen to it afterwards and still be part of it. And also it would help people in all other kinds of areas of life. So it shifts church out of the building. So originally it was to do with folk who work shifts, but then linked with shifting church out of the building online to be there for folk in all kinds of walks of life.
Yeah, shifting the idea of church, that church has to be a certain thing. So it's kind of shifting it in our minds as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people joining, which is great. Hi, everybody. Hi, Dawn. Hi, Paul. Hi, Lydia. Hi, Charlotte. Hi, David.
There you go. And Sarah's on with us as well. For those on the podcast, you can't see the screen. What day is it for you, Sarah? Is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, I'm still on Sunday evening, I think. I don't know. I think it's like every day since coronavirus. It's just all the same these days. I don't know. But yeah, it certainly doesn't feel necessarily like a Wednesday or what have you, but the important thing is we're all together and it's about a week since the last time, so that's good.
It is. We had an email, before we got into this week's things we were thinking about. Last thing, we were thinking about acceptance. And you know, I said I encourage people to email in if they had thoughts. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought as somebody had emailed in, I ought to read it out just to kind of encourage people, because there's no point encouraging people to email in and they're not reading it. So there we go. So Sandra emailed in. And she said, her reflections, acceptance of ourselves. Why do we find it hard to believe that God accepts us as we are? We need to accept ourselves as we are. And picked up something that Tom had said about Christians putting barriers up to others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to accept that the church building can be a barrier for some. And that doing Shift Church is a step of faith into pulling that barrier down. Mm-hmm. So there you are. Thank you, Sandra, for those thoughts. I wonder if any of us had any further reflections on acceptance from last week.
Spring that question on us.
I did a little bit, didn't I?
A bit, yeah.
Don't worry if not. We'll move on. It was just if there was an immediate kind of, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think
we've got plenty for tonight.
Yeah, the comment sort of brings it home, really, about a massive step is that we've got to accept ourselves.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it's really difficult otherwise. But then it is that step of faith of really believing that God accepts us and everybody. But it is a massive part about accepting yourself. Yeah. I know I've struggled with that all my life, really. So I feel that one.
Yeah.
And if any of you guys on the comments want to chip in, please do.
Absolutely.
With any thoughts about acceptance from last week,
or if anybody listens to this as a podcast, and if you do listen to this as a podcast, I'd be really interested to know how that works for you, and which podcast services you're using. Do let us know and get in touch. Tim at allsaints-wellington.org. So coming into this week, a little bit of space just as we start to breathe. I'm going to play some music, a new hymn, it's called, I think it's Come Christian People. I might have got the first line wrong, but it's a gathering and an opportunity to breathe and just to know ourselves, to be in the presence of God. So I'm going to try and make my computer work. which is always fun. So here we go.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From his shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice, rejoice.
There we go. Sorry for the buzz on the beginning of that. We are hoping, I've ordered a bit new, a bit kid. I'm hoping to be able to kill the buzz this Saturday. So pray hard for Saturday to kill the buzz on the video stream from church. That'd be great.
That's a great song, isn't it? It's got such good lyrics. It's really...
Yeah. Yes. I reckon that voice, a couple more plays, it could, that chorus, that Rejoice, Rejoice, could become a real earworm.
Yeah. Definitely a tambourine song.
I like that a lot. I think it's a Stuart... Is it Stuart Townend or John... a Getty one?
I think it's a Getty one. It sounds like a Getty one.
I'm sure David will be... If David's still on the stream, he'll be able to tell us on the comments. Exactly. Anyway, we're going to turn to scripture. We're going to have some Bible readings. Who's reading first? I can't remember who I asked.
I don't know.
Well, let's have the Corinthians one first. Let's have the Corinthians ones first. Is that Sarah?
Me, yeah.
Oh, Sarah's going to read from Corinthians for us.
Indeed. So this is the New International Version of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. So I hope you've all got your iPads out or your Bibles ready and joining. 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 21, the ministry of reconciliation. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. And Lynn, you're reading from
Matthew. As far as I know.
Yeah, that sounds right. We're so organized.
The second reading is from Matthew 5, 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. Jesus' disciples gathered around him and he taught them. God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. God blesses those people who are humble. The earth will belong to them. God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. God blesses those who are merciful. They will be treated with mercy. God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. They will see him. God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people insult you, ill-treat you, and tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be happy and excited. You will have a great reward in heaven. People did these same things to the prophets who lived long ago. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. So we're going to reflect on those readings together now. Shall we pray as we do that? As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now that buzz that I apologise for earlier, that's killed the video of the sermon from Sunday as well. So I'm afraid you've got me again this week, but in a twist, I'm working off David's script.
So you have to actually
yeah, I'm not going to do an impression of David.
It's a bit like when French and Saunders used to do their version of Harry Potter and all the films, so go on then.
Yeah. Am I French or so? I don't want to know.
No, don't ask.
So this evening we're continuing to explore this idea of what it means to love our neighbours, and having thought about acceptance and accepting folk around us last week, this week we're thinking about reconciliation and how helping people to be reconciled can be an expression of our love for those for them. And there's something deep within us that knows what it means to reconcile, that actually believes that reconciliation is the ideal. And we can define the word reconcile in lots of different ways. There's the accounting, reconciling balance sheets and that kind of thing. But perhaps in this context, a simple way of talking about it would be an action by which peace is made between personal enemies. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If you reconcile people, you're making peace between enemies.
Yeah.
And the reading we had from the Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which Sarah read for us, there was an example of this. Because a lot of this letter is Paul working to reconcile the believers in Corinth with each other and actually with him as well, because they've all fallen out. False teachers have gone to Corinth and tried to discredit Paul, and his supporters have fallen out with those who believe the false teachers, and he's fallen out with false teachers. Paul's writing into this situation of conflict. And so here we see this general idea of this reconciliation as bringing people together, restoring them to favour with each other. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, good, they're nodding. But having said that and laid that groundwork, I'm going to follow off David down a side alley because he likes those. We can't actually talk about reconciliation between people without thinking about reconciliation between people and God. It's a bit like that acceptance thing. How can we accept others if we know that we're accepted by God or accepted ourselves? And when we think about reconciliation between God and us, it's not a word that describes particularly a change of feelings, but actually an objective change of the situation. Something changes in reality in our very selves. Reconciliation, when we think about ourselves and God, talks about a change in the relationship itself, and particularly a change in us. As Paul writes, it's God that reconciles us to him, which means a couple of things. One, it's nothing to do with us. God does that work. God reconciles us to him. And it's nothing to do with how hard we work. It's nothing we can earn. It's nothing we strive for. It's all about God in Christ and the work Christ did on the cross, reconciling us to God. There's a theologian called DuPont who says that God does not reconcile himself to the world, but reconciles the world to himself. God is the reconciler. So as I said, we can't think about reconciling our neighbours to each other and to God without first thinking about our reconciliation to God. And what did Sarah read in 2 Corinthians for us? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And how are we made new? Well, in verse 18, this is all from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then we read, he gave us, what did he give us? The ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
So we're able to bring the ministry of reconciliation to our neighbours because we ourselves have been reconciled. It's a natural result of our reconciliation. Once we meet the great reconciler, once we meet God, we too are called to be reconcilers. So if we know that our hearts aren't actually reconciled to God, that's the first thing to address because that's the starting point. We can't do anything else if we're not reconciled with God. So actually this evening, if you listening or watching out there know that you're not in Christ, you're not reconciled to God, then that's the first step. Because the Bible encourages us to embrace Jesus, to embrace the new life that he offers, to be able to say, yes, the old is gone, the new has come. So tonight, if you're still living the old life and you've not stepped into this new life that Jesus offers, I encourage you pretty much as David did, to stop listening to me now and have that conversation with God. If you want to be reconciled with God this evening, you're not feeling reconciled, but spend some time just talking with God about that. But once that first step has been taken, what does the Bible say about reconciling people to each other and to God? Well, actually, perhaps a better question would be, what does the Bible not say about reconciling people to each other and to God? Because it's one way of reading the Bible is as a whole narrative of reconciliation. Right back at the beginning in Genesis, virtually the second chapter, humanity falls out with God, and then the rest of the Bible is God reconciling humanity to himself, undoing that breach in the relationship. The Old Testament's pattern of God reaching out to his people, rescuing them, giving the commandments, saying this is how you should live, and then not living like that, and then God coming back and reconciling them again, and over God of being God, being the reconciler. And that comes to kind of complete fruition in the New Testament. In the stories of Jesus, we see God in Christ as the reconciler. We read it in 2 Corinthians. And elsewhere in one of Paul's letters to the church in Colossae, he writes this about Jesus. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So the whole of the scripture is about God being a reconciler. So surely, if we're to follow Jesus and to live like Jesus lived, surely we too are called to be reconcilers. How can we do that? How can we reconcile people to each other and to God? There's a chap called Sean Palmer, and a lot of his ministry is around reconciliation and putting this stuff into practice. And he says this: reconciliation is not an agenda item. It's not something we can save until next year's budget, like repainting the interior of the church. Reconciliation is the demonstration that God is at work in the world. Any fool can put people at odds. Only God can bring those opposed to one another together as sisters and brothers. When we lose reconciliation, we lose Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I think, how do we do this reconciliation? Well, the first step is, it's not just an item on our to-do list. It's not just a church council agenda item. It's an intrinsic way to think about being a Christian. But also, it's hard work. Any fool can put people at odds to each other. It is, let's face it, much harder to reconcile. It's much easier to break apart than to glue it back together so you can't see the joint. Who watches The Restorers or Repair Shop? Repair Shop? Nobody. I love Repair Shop. I particularly love the ceramics expert. She takes these pots, which have been smashed into smithereens that you just could not believe, and she painstakingly over hours cleans all the edges and glues them together, these tiny slivers of pottery, and then paints over the tops you can't see. And seriously, Repair Shop, watch Repair Shop, the porcelain repairer. That is reconciliation. Any fool can drop a pot. It takes hours and hours of skill and work and patience to make it look like it's never been broken, to actually make it whole again.
It's actually lovely, to be fair. When I've watched it, it is really beautiful to watch the way she restores stuff.
Yeah.
Is that this week's take home?
Pardon?
Is that this week's take home? What's the Repair Shop?
Yeah, it can be. When we get there, if we ever get there. Yes. So the challenge here is that we actively look to be reconcilers. And there's a hint of that in our other reading from Matthew 5. Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount is his key teaching. Blessed are the peacemakers. God blesses those who make peace. They will be called children of God. And it's not just peacekeepers, it's peacemakers. It's not enough just to keep warring factions apart. Actually make peace between them. It's not passive, let's just see what happens. It's active, powerful kind of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. There's loads of examples of this through history. Well-known one from Rwanda. In 1994, the genocide, 800,000 people murdered in 100 days. And then a couple of years later, organizations like World Vision going in, starting reconciliation and peace building processes, getting people together to tell their stories, to hear each other, to forgive each other, to rebuild together. It's that long, hard, patient work. Similar examples around the world: Peru, South Sudan, South Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And those are kind of on a global scale. But at a more local level, those of us who work in schools or in prison or the police, there's a whole thing now around restorative justice. I wonder if you come across that in the chaplaincy at the prison, Sarah.
Yeah, and the restorative justice part and reconciliation is key to it, because it's the prisoner meeting with the victim So just as you say, they can totally understand the impact of what they had, you know, what they did, sorry, had on the person they committed the crime against.
So I wonder then, for us, what situations might we be part of where we can actively try and be, in the words of Matthew 5, peacemakers? I mean, it's fairly obvious there are situations out there in the world which need peace to be made. Those of us, well, I guess quite a lot of us on social media, given this is going on Facebook, you don't have to scroll through a Facebook or a Twitter feed very far at the moment to find people taking up positions, digging in, throwing bricks at conflict with each other. Disagreement about COVID, how we respond to migrants, all political stuff, and maybe in our workplaces, people are getting stressed and anxious about their jobs. So I suspect there's a lot more kind of anxiety and potential for people to fall out in our local communities. There's loads of opportunities where peace and reconciliation is needed in our neighbours. But it's long, patient, hard work. And ultimately, we're called to be people who call people not just a place to be reconciled with each other, but it's back to this being reconciled to God. We start with being reconciled to God. And actually, I think we need to end there as well. It's not just about, fundamentally, peace between people can only be made between people who are at peace with themselves and with God. And God is the reconciler. We can't actually do that bit of it. We can encourage, we can walk with people, we can help them. Paul writes, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So our message is reconciliation is possible. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that's it. That's the message we need to take to our communities, to our friends, to our work colleagues, our neighbours. Be reconciled to God. Come to the compelling love of Jesus. Confess your sin, knowing that he loves you and takes away the weight of that sin that so easily entangles us. Come to know Jesus, not just some teacher who wandered around Judea 2,000 years ago, not some exorcist with magic tricks, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the firstborn from among the dead. He's the Lord, and we're his ambassadors who bring his peace. He's the Prince of Peace, as we sing at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we're ambassadors for Jesus. Wherever we go, wherever we spend our day, whoever we talk to, people know that we're Christians. They look at us and they make that affects what they think of Jesus, for bad or good. We don't have a choice about that. We are witnesses to Jesus. It's just we're going to be good ones or not so much. And so the challenge perhaps for us is to take Paul's words out of the book and into our life. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. So I wonder, those of you on screen, what struck you about that? What your reflections? Those of you on the comment stream, if you want to join in, please do. Liz will pick those up. Or if you're listening on the podcast, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll use some of this material next week. That gives a little bit of thinking space to my friends here. I want to say, would you like to just tell us a little bit more about that restorative justice thing?
Yeah. I mean, there's a project called Sycamore Tree that they run through the prisons, and it lasts about 9 weeks. I keep changing the length of it. But it tends to be the longer serving prisoners that attend, and they have to. It's actually... It's called the sycamore tree because it's about Zacchaeus coming down from the tree, and that's where it all comes from. But although it's not run as a Christian, you know, religious thing, it's a theme that does get picked up. And it's coming to understand step by step themselves why what they've done is wrong. And I think that relates very much to, you know, the readings that we've had. I was going to say that theme of understanding is really important, because until the prisoners go through this course and they start to understand why it wasn't acceptable to them to have done what they did, you've got to understand, first of all, why did you do it? Yeah, so it's really asking questions of themselves all of the time. What were the situations? What were the circumstances? And they're over a few weeks. It takes a couple of weeks for them to get used to sharing things with you. But then you see this outbreak, this realization of suddenly understanding why they did it, why they thought it was wrong. And then having the courage to be able to come face to face with their victim. And most of them have done. Most of them do that. And it's a very brave thing to do because there's a lot of fear attached about how they will be judged. And I think what takes a lot of them by total surprise is that on the whole, there isn't this condemnation. A lot of the time there's this concern from the victim towards the prisoner that's actually committed the crime against them. And they get to find out about the person that committed the crime and the circumstances that they were in. You know, sometimes people have committed crime because of, it's very rare, to be honest, that it's just a, you know, a jovial thing, we'll do it for a laugh. It's normally based on need, really. I couldn't feed the family and all of that sort of thing. And the relationships then that have built out of these situations, of that reconciliatory meeting with the victim, prisoners have actually gone on to be really good friends with the victims, you know, and found work afterwards through the victims, because especially where they'd been, you know, we're talking about what you would class as, okay, yeah, it might be robbery, there might be a gun involved, but two parents who lost their children, had lost their lives because of this person. And the overwhelming thing from that is that the parents then tend to feel, I want it to have been worth something. My child died because of, you know, I don't want their death to be in vain, and I don't want you to have killed my child and then go on to be nothing and flail yourself.
So, that's an astonishing level of reconciliation. I struggled even to imagine how people get to that place.
It's absolutely amazing. It's amazing to see. But it happens. But the key to it, and it's what was coming through from the resume, is that understanding, first and foremost, well, what exactly does this mean? I mean, we reconciled to one body by the cross, blah, blah, blah. And then it's the understanding of, look, we've all died through Christ, but we've got then our duty to be the ambassadors. And that rings massively with me, because that's something that's very work orientated, from being ambassador for the company I work for, etc. But it's about the onus is on you now to go out, let people see me through you. You know, you make people understand that crucial bit, you help them to understand, and then get them on this path of reconciliation. And I think that's why I say, yeah, it's definitely about, you've got to really understand something before you can do it properly, to commit to something effectively, rather than it just be, you know, the piece real.
Thanks, Sarah.
There's a couple of things on the screen that kind of relate to what you're saying there. Kimberly says that maybe there's a slight difference between reconciling and peacemaking. With reconciliation, the onus is on the two people who have fallen out. But with peacemakers, the challenge is to go to those people to help them do the reconciliation. So there's a slight difference. And then Ali says, thinking about situations where reconciliation isn't always possible, but it's how it's still important to forgive. And that's really challenging as well, isn't it? You can't always reconcile with somebody if you're in, you know, a really difficult situation where you might not even see that person or whatever, but still that kind of challenge to forgive. And
And actually, you can be reconciled in your own heart towards them, even if they refuse the reconciliation. Can you? What do we think?
Yes, because I'm thinking, you know, people, thinking back to prison again, is it they, an individual that's committed a crime might find it difficult to forgive themselves. So then struggle, if I can't forgive myself, how can the person I committed the crime against forgive me? Or, you know, not just hold you on prison, but anything really, you know. If you can't reconcile yourself, then it's difficult to accept it from somebody else, maybe.
Yeah, but on the other end of that, if someone's done something against you, you can come to a place where you're ready to forgive them, and actually you're at peace about it in your own heart. You've reconciled yourself to the situation and to them. Yeah. But either because you never see them again or because they don't want to hear it, they don't have received that forgiveness. Yeah. So it's not like you're friends again, but actually your own heart's at peace. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you can be reconciled in yourself without actually the relationship having been completely restored.
Yeah. And it's not like you're suddenly letting them off the hook, but you're almost letting yourself go free from the chains it puts you into, stay in unforgiveness.
Somebody's having a big word with me after my prayers today. Those discussions.
Lynn, is there anything that struck you?
One thing, even as David was talking on Sunday, he didn't mention reconciliation with the earth.
And yes.
This is a whole, well, you can say it's a whole new subject, but it isn't. Because if we're not reconciled to God, then, well, we see it through history. We're warring with each other, and then tribes war with tribes, and then countries war with each other. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, as we've seen in our history. And that's why we need the peacemakers. But ultimately now, on a global scale, we're, our society is built so that it's built on a model that sees the earth as an asset to be mined, to be stripped, to be used. Mm-hmm. And unless we live in harmony with the earth and see it as a part of God's creation, and not as something we use up. It's ridiculous, really, because we're sort of digging the hole from under our feet. Mm. You know, if the earth is used up, then what have we done? We've destroyed that which God made.
Yeah.
And unless we reconcile mankind with the earth and ourselves with the earth, then it's game over for humankind, to be honest. And another thing I watched was, this ties in with Chris's testimony. I was watching this thing last night on Netflix about the social dilemma. And it's about how so much of our lives is lived now in social media. And of course, social media, they're making the point that social media, an AI, does not have a concept of truth. So it's all like, and you know, kids fall out because it's like, I haven't got as many likes as so-and-so. So their value, their self-worth is all on social media. Does someone like me? Does someone do this? But it doesn't know what truth is.
No.
It's just an opinion versus an opinion. And social media can set you at odds with somebody who expresses a different opinion because there is no truth on social media.
Yeah.
We see this even with politicians using social media. It's scary. It really is.
And it's really difficult because if you've got no shared agreement of how to assess reality, how do you you're not just reconciling people's hearts, you're having to reconcile people's worldviews and perceptions of reality if everything's just up for grabs. It's really hard. And yes, absolutely. So Paul writes, God reconciled all things on earth to himself. We often, in Christian circles, perhaps fall into the trap of thinking salvation is an individual thing, reconciliation between us and God is us. Was actually talked about reconciling the whole of creation, and we're to be as much part of that as an ambassadors for that as reconciling individuals to God.
And that's what really spoke to me as well, about that God is the reconciler. It's not necessarily us that has to do the work to be reconciled to him, but also that he kept on doing that work over and over again, right through the Bible, and he didn't give up on the people. He just kept on reconciling, even when they, you know, turned around and threw it back in his face. He was still there reconciling to them because he loved them, and that's his nature, and that's what he does with us as well, and that's just so powerful.
Great stuff. So Lynn mentioned there, Chris's testimony. So we've actually got a video of that. So would we like to have a look at that?
Yes,
please. Yay. So some more examples of restorative justice and reconciliation. And again, I've got to make the tech work, so bear with me. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I've been part of All Saints for years now, I think nearly 25 years or something like that. Currently, I'm a teacher in a local school, and teaching involves imparting information and trying to get kids to learn stuff, certainly, but it also involves a whole load of other stuff as well, including sorting out their problems, including picking them up when they're down, and often it includes getting friends back together again after they've fallen out. And quite a common thing is that kids fall out over something really quite trivial, but then they talk to others about each other, and then before you know it, you've got a situation where two little gangs have got together, and then there's a kind of rival situation which can escalate. And as they get older in the school, that sort of thing can get more serious. So helping kids to overcome their problems and to get back talking to each other is a kind of major role of teaching. And I find that actually you can't do that unless you actually get each of them to sit down and consider what it is that's gone on. And so part of my role is to help kids to understand exactly what's happened when their little relationship, friendship, or whatever it is, has gone wrong. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's not so much. But when you can do that, when kids can understand what's gone on and what the other person was thinking and what the other person really meant, then usually you can have some kind of reconciliation. And I believe that you can't really help others to be reconciled unless you know what it is to be reconciled yourself. To be reconciled as a person with other people, and to be reconciled to God. Now, I believe that I have been reconciled to God through Jesus. I believe that I have experienced at a human level and on a spiritual level a reuniting of, and a reigniting of a relationship that had gone stale, that had been allowed to wither. And so I take that perspective into the classroom. I take that perspective into life. And when I'm trying to help young people to get back together, to overcome their differences, and to see that there can be a way to mend a relationship, I draw on my own beliefs that Jesus died for me to bring me back to God. And I didn't even deserve it. And I definitely was in the wrong. And usually, with kids, it's not a case of one in the wrong and one in the right. So I find my Christian beliefs really help me to reconcile, to help others to be reconciled to each other.
Great stuff. Thank you, Chris, for sharing that with us. And as we... I just need to find the next bit of thingy because we're going to have a bit of music now as we reflect on that, on the discussion, on what God might have been saying through to you through the word. This bit of, hopefully, song will give us opportunity to think on that, to pray, and that'll lead us into prayer, which then this is going to lead. Is that all right? Makes sense for everybody?
Yeah.
Right. So let's hope this has fallen in the right place. Here we go.
I don't want to be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. Be still, say the word, and I will set my feet upon the sea till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still. You are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. I'm not gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. I'm not gonna fear the storm. Oh, I'm not gonna fear it all. Peace be still. Say the word and I will set my feet upon the sea till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still. You are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. Up in me, let faith rise up, oh heart, believe, let faith rise up in me.
Over to Liz.
Let's pray. So this week, just as last week, we're going to take the structure of the word pray, which is pause and then rejoice and then ask and then yield, but taking on that theme of reconciliation right through that. So just start with, let's take just a couple of moments to pause. And maybe just really think on those words from that song we just heard, that peace be still. Oh, Jesus, let your peace calm me. Just take a couple of seconds. You might want to just close your eyes, just to pause in God's presence. Just take some time to say thank you to God for who he is, for what he's done. Do join in as well on the thread. I'll try and feed those in where I can. Let's say thank you to God for his great work of reconciliation. So thank you, dear God, that you are the great reconciler, that you did all the work of reconciling us to you, and that you continue to do that. We praise you for your grace and for your great love that's beyond all our imagination.
Thank you, Lord, for your creation. You don't, nothing goes to waste, that you love it all and are reconciling it all to you. Thank you for the joy of being able to enjoy your creation.
Thank you, Lord, for being the reconciler, reconciling us through Christ on the cross, and for giving us the power then to go out and bring others to be reconciled in you, Lord, that we may be your ambassadors.
And thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now, in all our homes, in all our rooms, that we don't have to be gathered together in the building, that you are much bigger than that. You are more uncontainable than that. And you are here, and you are here to bless us, and here to speak to us. So let's just spend a few minutes praying into this area of reconciliation. There's a few thoughts that might be helpful for us to pray into. And that's to pray for reconciliation with others that we might need to be at peace with, and feel free to share that on the stream or pray it in your own hearts. And for those we know who need to reconcile with others, I'm praying for a reconciliation in our church, in our community, and in our world and with our earth as well. As Lynn brought out, let's just spend a few moments praying into reconciliation in those kind of areas. So please do join in on the stream.
Lord, we pray for those who are living through difficult times with friends or loved ones, employers or neighbours. Help them, Lord, we pray, that through the knowledge of your love and with your strength, they can work through these difficult times so that can be reconciled to those they love or their neighbours or their work colleagues, to reach resolution between them both or them all. That means both or all parties can reach an understanding and move forward in peace.
I pray particularly for those who, families or friendships which have suffered a fatal breach a long time ago and never been reconciled, and it's like an old scar that aches in the cold, or a bone that hasn't set properly. For those whose hearts carry those scars, Lord, would you bring healing to that by your Holy Spirit, in whatever way, even if the relationship can't be mended, may we experience reconciliation in our hearts. May we know those ancient wounds and aches to be healed in you and reconciled. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And I pray for those who find it really, really difficult to forgive, even say the words "I forgive," because of those old scars. And Lord, I pray that you would give us in our hearts the resources to say those words and to set us free, Lord, from stuff that's happened or has been done to us, Lord. I pray that you do your redeeming and your reconciling work within our hearts.
Lord, I pray for those who are willing to forgive but have pride standing in the way. Lord, I pray that pride will be brushed aside so that they can see the bigger picture.
I pray for the troubled areas of Azerbaijan and Armenia, which are in the news at this time. There are many other areas of the world that are in conflict, Lord. Too many to name. I would pray your peace on them and that there will be peacemakers. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for reconciliation between all those who are so polarised about the current situation with COVID and how to go about coping with the situation and dealing with it. And Lord, I pray for both sides that we would listen to one another and hear one another's heart in it and help us to talk kindly to one another, even if we disagree, Lord. And to know that it's a hugely difficult situation for whoever is having to govern in all of this. So I pray that you just give us kindness in the centre of this and reconciliation between those groups who've been polarised in all of this time. Pray as well for reconciliation in the church, in our church and in other churches, Lord, and in any situations which have gone unresolved, perhaps over years. We pray, Lord, that people will come together and you would do that reconciling work in their hearts and set them free, Lord, from the bondage that they've been under of being not able to be reconciled with one another. Pray that you do that work in all saints, Lord, in all those situations and in other churches and situations. And so finally, we just go to the why of pray, which is to yield, to say yes. So I'm just going to pray to end. Using that. So, Father God, we say yes to you. We say yes to the work that you do of reconciling and say yes to the challenge that you give us to reconcile to others and to be peacemakers in the world. And we say yes to the challenge that you give us of reconciling with creation. And we say yes to the challenge you give us personally of reconciling to those that we have fallen out with. And help us to go out tonight and into the world just with your kingdom value, your upside down kingdom value of reconciling, even when the world seems to be so against that idea in so many ways. To look to you and say yes to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, everybody who's been with us this evening. It's been it's gone quickly again.
Yeah,
it's always a good sign. Yes. So yeah, thank you, Sarah and Liz and Lynn. we never did go back to take it home. Maybe Chris's, we can use Chris's kind of, when our youngsters fall out, helping them to listen to each other and understand what actually happened and what was meant, rather than the vast offence that was taken at the mine. I think maybe that's something we can help our youngsters with.
I've got a snippet to end with. It's the last words that from the reading. God will bless you when people insult you, ill-treat you, and tell all kinds of evil about you. Be happy and excited. You have a great reward in heaven. Mm. People did these things to the prophets long ago. And that's what we have coming. It's a hard work. It's a hard work.
Yeah.
But a thankless task sometimes. But they did this to the prophets.
And there will be a reward in glory, which is fantastic. Yes, so drop us an email if you've listened to this on the podcast, or if you've reflected on this in the week as you've watched it, Tim at allsaints-wellington.org. And we will see you at 8 o'clock next week on the Facebook stream. So lovely to see you all. Good night. God bless.
Everyone.
Bird bye, everybody. And I need to stop the recording.